The series we've been presenting is called Israel Saw and Believed. Really? Part one is the Israelites were released from bondage and they crossed over on dry ground to the Red Sea and then watched the waters cover their mortal enemy forever gone. They then had one big, gigantic celebration. And we would have done the very same thing. Don't you agree? In fact, it says here in Exodus 14, verse 31, which was our scripture reading today. It says this, "And Israel saw that great works of God which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Thus the title, that famous title, Israel Saw, Believed, Really? For just 3 days later after this celebration, something happened. But first I want to show you this. How many of you are aware that by April 12th, 2018, Cape Town, Africa, the second largest city and a tourist center of South Africa, will be completely out of water? And what you have there in that slide, you see the reservoir when there was a little bit of water left, but now the reservoir today, dry. Folks, this is the signs of the time. I don't know if you can find it in your heart to have compassion and sympathy for these people, but let me tell you, there's two groups there. One group, whichever nationality, color, creed, culture they are, have the ability of getting in a car and going somewhere else. But there are people who do not have that ability. And what are they going to do when the water runs out? By the way, I have to put in a little advertisement. I fear the same thing's going to happen here in Las Vegas. Yeah, we see water out there, but it keeps going down. And now I'm told that people from California are moving, especially to Las Vegas or Dallas, to get out of California. And it's booming everywhere. Just the other day, my wife, of course, this isn't the sermon, we noticed that the traffic is getting worse now. And I'm thinking, this is becoming California. But anyway, let's get back to the reality that this is really happening. And so we look at part one, the introduction of this story, as we proceeded from the warm and gigantic and happy and joyful celebration of the Red Sea. 3 days later, they came to Marah, and the water that was there was bitter, and they immediately turned on Moses and accused him of leading them there to die. And then part two, we looked at it, in the wilderness of Sin, they then traveled from Marah, and they went to Elam, and after they left Elam, when they entered the wilderness of Sin, do you remember what happened a short while later? Do you remember part two? There was no food. And actually, we discovered something very interesting. There was food, but it was getting less and less in amounts, and they started to panic, and they turned on Moses again. Now remember the text that was just read to you. And so we're going to continue this journey, and it's going to bring us to the third location, which is called Rephidim. And we're going to see what happened. Part three. Israel saw and Israel believed until there was no water. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus 17, children, take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to Exodus 17. This is a very interesting story. I want you to hear it. Believe me, this journey we're going on with the Israelites is preparing us for what is coming soon. Exodus 17. And we're going to read the whole story, verse 1 through 7, and then we're going to pick it apart. So everybody have it? Okay, children, do you have it? Okay, there are no children here at all. Come on, children, turn to it and let me know. Okay, thank you. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord. Remember some of these little details as we go through this. And camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people's thirst there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to what? Stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river." Of course, that's the river what? Nile River. "And go now. Behold, I will stand before you there on a rock in Horeb," which is Mount Sinai, "and you shall strike the rock. Water will come out that the people may drink." Well, here we go again. Just a short while after they have left the Red Sea celebration, they come to this new location of Rephidim, and there is no water. And so what are these people? Here, I'm going to say, Israel saw and believed. And what did they do? They turned on Moses for the third time in a row. And folks, I want you to read it more carefully. I want you to see that this time they accused him of murder. This time they were really angry. In fact, some smart aleck in the congregation decided to pass the word that Moses brought us here so we'll die and he can have all of our stuff. And I want you to see what the Bible says. By the way, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. I want you to see what the Bible says so that this makes some sense to us in this day and age and location in which we're living as we read these Old Testament stories and shake our heads at the people, the way they reacted, and wonder. Okay, you got 1 Corinthians 10? Notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul wrote this to the people of Corinth. We'll start at verse 1. but we're especially going to look at 10 and 11. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." That's in reference to what? The Red Sea. Okay, here's Moses and his group. Verse 2. "All were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food." What was that spiritual food? Manna. We found out last week. God rained down manna every morning. "And all drank the same spiritual drink." And we're going to get to that. "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was, it was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now drop down to 10. "Therefore, Paul then wrote to the Corinthian believers not to complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as" what? Examples. For who? For us. Yeah. "Examples. And they were written for our admonition." I'm going to look. Admonition, instruction, "upon whom the ends of the age have come." Who's it especially for? It's especially for us. God said, don't complain. Now that we look back, we shouldn't, but when we get in this situation, what are we going to do? And so I quoted this so that you would see it on the screen. "Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition upon the ends of the age, that the ages has come." And that definitely is us, folks. We need to take heed to these stories. They're talking to us to prepare us for what's coming. And by the way, I'm going to take a little side journey right now, and I want to show you something. In case you're like me and you wonder, in the time of trouble, do we store up food so that we have extra quantities of food? Well, the Bible tells me that we're going to be fleeing pretty soon. How much food are you going to be able to take? I want you to know the Bible's got an alternative. I thought I would use Elijah as just one example. And how did he get his food? The birds brought the food to him. But I want to give you an encouraging promise in case some of these thoughts enter your mind. For we are going to be tested just like they were tested in the wilderness. God knew the waters. In fact, you remember we learned that Moses knew about Meribah. That's where he had the sheep in that general vicinity. He knew those waters were undrinkable. And we're told that as he followed the cloud, he was going, "Lord, don't go that way. Lord, this is not the right way. Lord, when the people get there, they're going to be up in arms." And the cloud went right there. And notice, Moses, the only one who understood, obeyed the cloud. Didn't agree, but obeyed the cloud. People came, touched the water, and they turned on Moses with a vengeance. They were dying of thirst after 3 days in the wilderness, and all their water was gone. Moses, "Throw a tree in the water and it'll be okay." God always has a way. And we got to keep our minds on that as we look at this series and continue to move forward. as the Israelites are fumbling and stumbling. So number one, as we saw, and that was the people complained for the third time. Number two, I got something else to show you. Here's the promise. Isaiah, I got way off. Excuse me. Listen what Isaiah says. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ear from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He or she or they or the children who do those things, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, his water be sure. Yes, we all should have said that. Amen. God comes through. In fact, not only did ravens feed Elijah, but who else fed Elijah? An angel as he was running away sometime after this event. In fact, this is prior to Mount Carmel, and the angel is after Mount Carmel. The angel came and cooked him a meal, woke him up, brought a cruse of water, told him, eat and drink. You need more strength to run away from God. And so I want to encourage you. I don't care what the odds are, okay? This is Las Vegas, man. They star in making odds, okay? But when you're dealing with God, you better watch out. There aren't any odds. He is going to come through every single time. Number two, Moses reminded them they were tempting, attacking God, not him. And so it says here, by the command of God, the children of Israel were brought to Rephidim, a place destitute of water. Many today think that when they begin their Christian life, they will find freedom from all wants and difficulties. But of old, the Lord led His people to Rephidim, and He may choose to bring us there also, in order to test our faithfulness and loyalty to Him. I want it to sink in. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know as I read this, you know, I'm preparing a new series on the last days. And the more I read about that, the more I really ask God, am I ready for this? And I want this to get in our heads so that we know that no matter what, He's going to come through for us. By the way, no sacrifice you have to make is too great to please God and to prepare for what's coming. Anyway, that was a side note. The quote continues. Look what it says. But He longs to manifest Himself to us in our emergencies and reveal the abundant supplies that are at our disposal. Independent of our surroundings, and disappointment and trials are permitted to come upon us that we may realize our own helplessness and learn to call upon the Lord for aid as a child. When hunger and thirst call upon its earthly father, when hungry and thirsty calls upon it earthly father. Signs of the Times, September 10th, 1896. And so we find out that God purposely brought Israel to Rephidim to test them. And would you say they passed it or they failed it? You're not going to say anything, huh? You know, there's a very special quote in the Spirit of Prophecy that I've never forgotten, though I probably... Well, I could find it if I put those words in. But I never have to. In a crisis, your character is not made. It is revealed. Did you hear that? In a crisis, your character is not made. It's revealed. And when they got to this third test, they flunked it just like the first two, only this time with Moses' own mouth, he said, "Lord, they're ready to stone me." And I want to remind you of this so that we won't be like that. During the day, there was a pillar of cloud to protect them from the sun and lead them on their journey. At night, there was a pillar of fire to protect them from the cold, light their way, and also, I forgot what also was. That's pretty good though. And then let's not also forget that every single morning there was food. Now folks, stop, please, stop. Go, wait a minute. What's the matter with these people? And then I go, "Lord, I'm people too, aren't I?" "Yes, Peter." "I have that in me, don't I?" "Yes, Peter." You know, I got to illustrate this just briefly. I went to Auschwitz. You know where Auschwitz is? Poland. You know what it is? It was the most effective killing concentration camp that existed. Maybe more of you know the word Dachau, but let me tell you, the numbers don't line up. Auschwitz was the place. I went there. And I saw the displays. I couldn't believe it. First of all, as the Russian army was coming, they blew up all the crematoriums, but all the rubble is there. And they burned and destroyed many of the barracks, but some of them remained. And they turned them into a museum. And you go into those barracks and here are these little big compartments. In this compartment, full of human hair. In this compartment, full of eyeglasses. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, "Lord, these are real people." And then another compartment behind the glass was suitcases with names and dates and addresses on them. And after going through that exhibit, I just shot my hand up. I looked at my guide in front of everybody and I said, "How could man be so cruel to other men and women and children?" And the minute my mouth closed, I knew the answer. I don't even remember what she said. Here was the answer. Without the Holy Spirit, I could be one of the guards in Auschwitz. I'm no different from them, except I have the Holy Spirit. And yeah, I may not go that far, but the point is, the result is the same. I'll be self-centered instead of Christ-centered. I will be serving myself instead of serving Him. I'll serve myself instead of serving you. They had the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Every single morning bread fell and they turned on Moses and said, "Why are you trying to kill us?" And the Bible plainly states for 40 years they were daily reminded of His miraculous provisions, of God's unfailing care and tender love, in the words of the psalmist, God gave them, quote, of the corn of heaven. And men did eat angels' food. And Ellen White then says, that is the food provided for them by the angels. Your food and water are assured. By the way, I just realized, I thought I had corrected that. That happens to be from Patriarchs and Prophets, 297, if you want to look it up. And yet, they turned. Well, number three and final point, done. And that is, what did Moses do and how did God respond? Let's go back to 4, 5, and 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. Let's go back to Exodus 17 real quick. This is exciting. This, like, to me is the pinnacle of the story. We got the introduction and the facts, and now we're coming to the conclusion. Look what it says in verse 4, folks. Exodus 17, verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. Water will come out of it, and that the people may drink. See? That was my trumpet blast. Wasn't that beautiful? I mean, God, folks, I've got to ask all of us a question. Peter, where are you in this story? Peter, are you Moses? Peter, are you God in this story? Or are you of the tribe of Israel? And so Moses, instead of getting angry, he went to his knees and prayed in this crisis. There are certain types of personalities that would say, Moses, get up, get your gun out. We need to defend ourselves. What are you doing down there? This is stupid. Be proactive. Moses is praying. God says, Moses, do this. Now, let's stop just for a second. If you were God, what would you have done? Oh, Lord, help me now. They're going to stone me. What do I do? There is no water. You brought us here. We followed that cloud. They are madder than a hornet, Lord. At any second, I'm going to feel the rocks plummeting over my body. And God, instead of bringing lightning down on the people, he says, Moses, take that staff. Go to Mount Horeb. Hit that rock one time. I'll take care of their thirst. God wasn't mad at all. God had a plan for those people from day one. He brought them into situations so that they would learn to trust Him and see that He would forever be with Him, with them. And the Bible says in Psalm 78, He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of a great depth. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. Not like a river, but rivers. Our God can do anything. We just have to learn to trust Him. And who are we like? The only way we're going to be ready for what's going to transpire soon. Oh, so let's make contact with the book of Revelation, the most important book of the Bible. It says they will neither be able to buy or sell. who do not bow down and worship the image or receive the mark in their forehead or their hand. Raphidim is coming, folks. Are we ready? Take a look at this quote. In their thirst, the people had tempted God, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Hold on. Hold on. Is the Lord among us or not? Pillar of cloud by day, every day, all the time. Pillar of fire by night. That's the same pillar of fire that left the Israelites at the Red Sea and went over them and stopped the Egyptians from coming into camp until they could get out of there. And then it was raining bread every day. And so that quote says, "Is the Lord among us or not? If God has brought us here, why does He not give us water as well as bread?" The unbelief thus manifested was criminal. And Moses feared that the judgments of God would rest upon them. Wait a minute, did you get that? Just like Jesus, Moses hit the deck not to save his life, but whose life? I got to read it again. And Moses feared that the judgments of God would rest upon them for their third rebellion in a row. He hit the deck not only to pray for direction, but Lord, don't kill these people. Don't bring judgments upon them. Bear a little bit longer with them. Be patient with them. They were slaves for 250 years. They weren't allowed to go to school. They weren't allowed to go to church. And then it goes on and says, "And he called the name of the place Massah, which is temptation, and Meribah, chiding, as a memorial of their sin." Some years ago, a man named Mike was learning to fly. His instructor told him to put the plane in a steep and extended dive. Bill was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plummet out of control. It soon became evident to Bill that the instructor was not going to do anything to help him at all. And after a few seconds, which seemed like eternity, his mind began to function and he quickly corrected the situation. Immediately after stabilization, he turned to his instructor and began to vent his fearful frustration on him. But the instructor very calmly said to him, "There is no position you can get this plane into that I cannot get you out. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again." At that moment, God seemed to be saying to Bill, "Remember this, as you serve me, there is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of." What a God we serve. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for these unbelievable, fantastic stories throughout the Bible, including the Old Testament, that teach us about ourselves. And I want you to let this information settle on our hearts and minds. I want you to suggest to each and every person here, including the children, to go home and reread Exodus 17. I pray, Father, that in it we will hear your clear call for us to be preparing for our approach of Rephidim. So bless us now, Lord. Don't let anybody leave this sanctuary without making a decision. And if there's someone who needs to be baptized, move on their hearts that they would come forward at the end of the service up front where we are praying for people. So blessed to this end, and thank you. You never fail us. You never failed the Israelites. You're not about to fail us because you love us. You died for us, but especially because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.